Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Well, the series is all tied up. Now the Celtics are in a mess. We're going to talk about it here on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Millions, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter and host of this here Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're new, thank you for sampling, checking it out. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Regular listeners, shout out to you for sticking around and rating and reviewing and sharing the podcast. That's always very much appreciated. So, Celtics on the brink of a 3-0 insurmountable lead, now find themselves tied at 2 after a 100-93 Game 4 loss to the Toronto Raptors. In today's show, segment 1, this isn't going to be a typical post-game show. That was because the game was obviously a couple days ago. I'm going to look at some of the problems in the first segment, Jaylen Brown, Kyle Lowry, maybe some solutions in the second segment, including what to do with Serge Ibaka, because he's been a difference maker in this series. And then in the third segment, the Celtics admitted that they were outworked in this game. And that just does not sit well with me. So I don't know how you do that, but I'm going to talk about it here in the third segment. So let's just start off here, because I think one of the biggest problems here in Game 4, and it's been an ongoing problem, I think, since Game 2, Jaylen Brown. And this isn't like a knock. This isn't a takedown of Jaylen Brown. I don't care, actually, that he shot poorly. That's not something that I'm going to get worked up about. 2 of 11 from 3, but I look at all 11 of those threes, and I think all of them were good shots. And Jaylen Brown has proven himself to be great in those situations. Catch and shoot corner threes. That's exactly what you want Jaylen Brown to be getting, and he missed them. So that's not what this is at all. I think Jaylen Brown is fatigued. I think Jaylen Brown is not just physically fatigued. I think he's mentally fatigued. I think he's experiencing a tough time right now, partially because of the bubble fatigue, partially because of just the games and the nature of, like, you know, every other day. I think what we saw in Game 4 has been an ongoing thing for Jaylen Brown. I talked about it after Game 2, where he made a couple of mistakes. He had a good game. He actually had a really good game in Game 2. But remember, I said, you know, he had these uncharacteristic mistakes where he started to, like, get lost. And he got cut back door, and he got lost on another play. Then Game 3, it started to happen again. And in Game 4, he had his worst game of the series, his worst game of the bubble, I think. And I think there is some sort of wear and tear on Jaylen. I think there's something there. And that's a problem for the Celtics, because they need Jaylen Brown. You can't have the Celtics be down Gordon Hayward and be down Jaylen Brown, even though he's out there. Now, he had his moments, he had stretches, but he also looked bad. And he looked bad defensively. We finally saw Pascal Siakam start to get a couple of shots off and hit over Kemba. I mean, over Jaylen. I think whatever Jaylen Brown needs to do to try to power through this, he needs to find it. Whether it's whatever he's reading, whether it's FaceTiming with his family, whatever it is, because I'm not going to get on Jaylen Brown for a poor performance, knowing how good he's been. But what I am going to say is they're going to need to play him 40 minutes. They're going to need to play him a lot. He needs to find a way to find his focus. This is the toughest part of the bubble. I might have said this in the past podcast. This is exactly where I thought things would get really, really hard for players, because it's before, you know, they're getting some family in. Some of these guys are getting family. I don't think Jaylen Brown, I don't think any of the Celtics have family. Or did Wanamaker get family? I don't know. But regardless, this is the stretch where I think the wear of the 2 months that they've been in the bubble has really taken hold. And this is why I thought that blowing game three was really a problem, because the Celtics had Toronto there and ready to go, and they've been in the bubble. They've been in Florida longer than anybody. I think they would have been really, really tested. I hope that Jaylen can find his focus. That's all I got to say about Jaylen Brown. The other big thing that has obviously bothered the Celtics in games three and four, Kyle Lowry, the Celtics are attacking Kemba Walker, and Kyle Lowry is getting into the lane. He's getting by everybody. If the Celtics decide they want to switch, he'll find, if Kemba's on Van Vliet, then Van Vliet will come over and set a pick and get the switch. Or if they start to try to fight through, if you go over the pick, then what happens is the big Tice, Rob Williams, drops to try to prevent that coverage, prevent that drive. And then Lowry finds either Ibaka or Gasol. He's really been good at finding that big, and the Celtics have not figured out how to handle that. And maybe the Celtics just need to find a different way to rotate and get help or blitz, maybe instead of, and Brad said that there are a couple of things on Sunday. He said there are a couple of things they can do. I would start watching to see if the Celtics start blitzing Kyle Lowry on those pick and rolls instead of trying to switch, or instead of trying to drop. I think maybe you attack him and you have him give up the ball, and then you try to maybe rotate behind him and see if you can jump a passing lane and get some turnovers there. That would be my fix for Kyle Lowry pick and rolls and what he's been doing. I wouldn't be surprised, much like the Raptors did to Jason Tatum on the first possession of game four, I would not be surprised to see the Celtics start trying to blitz and see, not all the time, but early on, just attack him strong and see if him giving up the ball can put a little pressure on some of these other guys. And if the Celtics can get their rotations down, then they might be able to force a couple of turnovers. Kemba's defense, by the way, has been just... I mean, he's not a defender. Let's just say Kemba's defense in game four was just bad. And they've been able to get away with Kemba's defense. Kemba's not like a strong defensive player, but, you know, he'll get in there, he'll take charges, he'll try. It's not like he's Isaiah Thomas out there, but in this one, he really just had some problems. And I retweeted something with Mo Dockhill of The Athletic, who showed how Kemba just kind of stopped moving. Fred VanVleet drove, kicked, and then replaced. And Kemba just kind of stopped after he kicked. So Fred VanVleet drives, kicks it out. Kemba just kind of stops and ball watches a little too much. And then VanVleet keeps moving and gets himself open looks. I think that if each individual Celtic can put in that little extra effort, and I'll talk about that in that third segment, like I said, complete the play. Like, just complete the play. Don't fall asleep. too many instances of the Celtics falling asleep. And they did all of these bad things and still had themselves a chance to get to make this close, to be in the game, to maybe make a run at the end, and they just couldn't pull it off. I mean, the Celtics lost this game in the third quarter, which I'm going to talk about after the break, but in the fourth quarter, they outscored Toronto by one in the fourth quarter. They had themselves an opportunity to take this game, to steal this game, and they couldn't. Kemba, by the way, 9 shots. I don't know what else to say about that. Kemba needs to really be aggressive. I think the Celtics have kind of switched their style up a little too much to be a little too Tatum heavy. Like, Tatum is great. Tatum can be the best player in this series. He hasn't been. Kyle Lowry has. But Tatum can be the best player in this series. But the Celtics are doing a little too much of, like, getting out of his way. Like, go ahead, go do your thing, Tatum. When Kemba should be setting the tone, Kemba should be out there being dangerous, and you let Tatum just kind of pick them apart here and there. You don't have to let Tatum go out and score 40. The Celtics can win if Tatum scores 22, because Kemba can go out and get 22, and Jaylen can go out and get 22, and they'll be fine. Like that, not exactly fine. They might need to score a little bit more than that, but you get my point. I think the Celtics are kind of relying a little too much. That Toronto defense is really good, and by setting picks, they may feel like they're bringing over defenders. So once they get a Tatum matchup that they like, go ahead, go to it. And that's fine. If he's got Van Vliet on his back, you want to toss it to him in the post. He made a couple of really good moves in the post. He did a couple of really good things. He had that dunk, that spin move. He recognized where the help was coming from. He spun the other way, and he went in for a dunk. That was beautiful. Gorgeous. It was great to see him recognize that. But Kemba needs to be aggressive. Kemba needs to go and attack. And he needs to make the Raptors react to him. And the Celtics and Tatum can react to that. And then after that, Jaylen Brown can get the overflow and get those shots. Jaylen's going to get those shots again. Okay? Every one of those shots that he missed 9. I think 6 were short. Going back to the fatigue thing. All of those shots were short. So Kemba, attack. Take control of the game. Be the star that the Celtics signed. Then everything can fall in place behind that. Somehow Jaylen needs to get himself together and blitz the Lowry pick and rolls. I think that's right away my plan to start for game 5. When I come back, what do we do with Serge Ibaka? That's a good question. We'll figure that out in just a moment. First, I have trouble figuring out what I want to eat. Where do I want to go and order from? Especially when I'm watching the games, I need food delivered to me. But no matter what I'm trying to do, watch a game, write a recap, I can always go onto my DoorDash app and figure out, hey, maybe I'm craving some Chinese. Maybe I want some pizza. Maybe I want some pasta. DoorDash is going to bring that to my door right away. Just open up that app, choose what I want to eat, and right away, they'll bring it over, and they're going to leave it outside. They don't have to worry about exchanging money. I can stay safe in this COVID time. They have this contactless delivery that I can just have them drop it off outside. They let me know when it's there. Boom. Done. I can support my favorite local restaurants that are still open for delivery because, you know what? They're there for us when we're out there. I want to go and support them, and I can do that through the DoorDash app. Right now, you can get $5 off and 0 delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order and 0 delivery fees on an order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Serge Ibaka killed the Celtics in game 4. 7 of 9 shooting, 4-4 from 3, 18.7 rebounds, 2 offensive. And that one block, which was on a Daniel Tice dunk, and then he had to do the Mutombo finger wag. So what did the Celtics do with Serge Ibaka? The Celtics had Robert Williams in there, and Brad didn't play him in the second half at all, basically at all, because of Rob's handling of Serge Ibaka. Now, if the Celtics decide to blitz pick and rolls and try to take the ball out of Lowry's hands or Van Vliet's hands, then maybe that can help with the Serge Ibaka thing. If Rob is out there and he's attacking and blitzing, then maybe something can be done. But also, you don't want Robert Williams out all the way out there blitzing, right? So what do the Celtics do? Do they go with Grant Williams again? I mean, Grant did okay, but he had some lapses out there in game 4. Do the Celtics start Robert Williams? Which is a thing that they could turn to, and then when Ibaka comes in, you have Daniel Tice. And you'll mix up the coverage. You're not going to blitz all the time, but I think if maybe they start Robert Williams and have him go against Marcus Gasol, then you take advantage of that matchup and you say, all right, whenever Gasol is on the floor, Robert Williams is on the floor too. And Robert, yeah, you might have Gasol post-ups against Robert Williams. But you know what? I'll take Gasol post-ups. If you want to bait the Raptors into Gasol post-ups so he can, you know, slow things down and Van Vliet and Ananobi and Lowry aren't attacking and hitting threes. I mean, obviously, Gasol is a good passer, but if you run the offense through Gasol and they're not moving the ball and setting pick and rolls and all of that stuff, then it's a little bit easier to defend. And if Gasol hits a couple of turnaround jump hooks or whatever, fine. But on the other end, he's got to guard Robert Williams. And the Celtics can put Gasol in the pick and roll, and then you either have a guy who's going to worry too much about the roll, or you're going to have a guy that sags far enough and Kemba can start going to some of his pull-ups and you have a little bit of offensive flow there. So I think what you do with Ibaka is go with Daniel Tice and maybe Grant Williams on him all the time. But you got to be up on him. They've got to fix their rotations. The Celtics can't go into a coverage where they're dropping the big because they're afraid of the guard driving and then letting Ibaka catch and get clear looks. They have to either play up higher and then fix their rotations and have somebody either come over from the weak side and you kind of wheel around and cover for each other that way. That's tough to do, and it's tough to change your, like, it's easy for me to sit there and be like, oh, well, just rotate here, here, and here, and here. But the problem is that if the Celtics aren't used to that, then it's hard to switch midstream. You've done a couple of things all year long, and now all of a sudden you're like, nope, your muscle memory, throw it out. Now we're going to do something completely different. That's impossible to do. It's not like a video game where you switch a setting and you're like, oh, okay, now these guys are going to do this. There's a reaction. There's a human tendency to say, this is my job. I'm going to do this. Now, maybe they can zone it up a little bit. Maybe you can throw a little zone when Ibaka's out there. That's another option. That instead of the drive and the drop, you zone it up. So, and you would have a little bit of a matchup, but you still have to zone it up. And at least you have a guy up top. And okay, so maybe you give up some mid-range shots, but I'd rather have Serge Ibaka be 7 of 9 with a bunch of mid-range shots for 14 points than 4 of 4 from 3 for 18 points. That's, you know, if that's how it's going to be, then that's how it's going to be. But you can pick your poison. But I think the blitz, like I said earlier, could be something that works. If you have Tice, who can handle himself out there and is smart, and maybe Grant Williams, who can handle himself in those rotations and can switch. But I think you match up Rob with Gasol, and then you either zone up or you blitz and you try to blow up those pick and rolls that way. Now, this is where the Celtics end up missing Gordon Hayward, because he could help a lot, because Gordon Hayward could switch onto Serge Ibaka, and yeah, Ibaka can still shoot over the top of him, but Gordon Hayward could make it a lot more difficult. You know, he's good in those rotations. And then obviously Hayward could handle the offensive load, and some of those shots that Shemmy and Grant are getting would go to Gordon Hayward, and obviously he's much better at that. The game four highlighted very much how much they miss Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward could also help with the start of third quarters. What did the Celtics do in third quarters? That's a mystery, because the Celtics look pretty bad in those third quarters. They look really bad in those third quarters. They are coming out of the break sluggish. A third quarter, I really am looking at these third quarters, and honestly, it's about the effort. Honestly, it's kind of infuriating to say, but this is about going out there and playing with that intensity that Toronto's playing with. Toronto's out there playing their guys 44 minutes a game, 45 minutes. Lowry, Van Vliet, Siakam, 43, almost 44 minutes for Lowry, almost 45 for Van Vliet, 45 and a half for Siakam. Those guys are playing the entire second half. They're desperate. They've been desperate. The Celtics have to play like that and not just talk about it, which they did. And I'm going to talk about that when I return. But first, I got my shipment today of Built Bars, the brand new, better tasting Built Bar. And let me tell you something, it's absolutely right. It's lighter, it's fluffier, kind of almost tastes like a Milky Way bar. But it's a protein bar that is low in sugar, low calorie, high protein, high fiber. You're just getting 180 calories and none of the extra stuff. So if you're looking to maintain your weight and get something that you can indulge in, if you're looking to lose weight and you're looking for something that can be a meal replacement, this is perfect. It's something that if you've got a nut allergy, they've got those options for you that are nut-free. If you're on the keto diet, this worked perfectly for you. They're soft, they're easy to chew, they're covered in 100% chocolate. Listen to these, like coconut almond has 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. Cookies and cream, 130 calories for a cookies and cream bar with 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. Like I said, I just spent my own money. I've spent my own money twice to go and buy Built Bars to replenish the supply. They gave me the freebies first and I got hooked. I'm going back. So you can go back too, and you can use the promo code Locked On. Even if you've used it before, they've reset it for their relaunch. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. Use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The Celtics said maybe the most infuriating thing. Jason Tatum, after the game, I just couldn't believe that he just sat there and said, quote, "They played harder than we did. And I think that was just noticeable on both ends of the floor for most of the game." Excuse me? Like, excuse me? Did you just admit that they played harder than you did? I mean, okay. And this is the thing that bugs me. That they knew that Toronto was going to come out desperate. We all knew that Toronto was going to come out desperate. And the Celtics somehow did not find it in themselves to match that intensity. Now, I think some of this was throwaway cliche lines for Jason Tatum. Kemba said something similar where they kind of were like giving credit to Toronto. Look, they played harder than we did and blah, 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 blah. Okay. But you still didn't play hard enough especially in those third quarters, especially when it came down to needing these baskets. You didn't play hard, but you didn't play right. And this is, I was having a conversation with Tom Westerholm, who's my partner at Mass Live on the Celtics beat. And here's how I put it. The Celtics, it's not like they didn't try in this game. And the way Jason Tatum phrased it, maybe somebody could take it that way. What Toronto did was they played harder and under control. The Celtics played hard, but also kind of took the easy way out sometimes. And so in my conversation with Tom, this is something that I do a bunch. When things get a little nuts, I say, you know what? I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I got it. Because it's easier for me to do it myself. It's easier for me to go do things myself if there's an idea, if there's a something that I want to get done. And sometimes it might be better and take more work if I involve more people and talk about certain things and try to, you know, you probably have had these situations at work. It applies to everybody in every type of job. Getting people together, talking things through, working it out, that's harder, maybe a little more time consuming, but better. But I, personally, I want it done. I want it done this way. It's easier for me to just do it. I'm just going to do it. How does this apply to the Celtics? There were probably three or four times in that game where when the Celtics did get a stop and did force a turnover, they put their head down, ran in a straight line as fast as they could, and tried to attack and get a layup one on three, one on two. And ultimately, what happened? Turnover, missed shot, Toronto goes the other way. Instead of doing the hard thing, which is be under control, wait, scan the floor, see if there's somebody filling the lane, work the ball around, go set a screen, secondary break, see if you can get a trailer. That's hard to do. It takes more energy to attack and then peel off and kick it out and then replace and do what Fred VanVleet does. Or, you know, you come down the left side, you've sucked in the defense. Instead of going up one on two, one on three, you turn, you wait to see where the next guy is, give it to a guy that's trailing. Everybody has to run, so it's harder for everybody. And you've got to go to the corner and maybe to the top of the key or across the baseline and then attack because the defense is collapsing and you've got to find the gaps. That's a lot of hard work. It's so much easier to just run as fast as you can in a straight line and try to score that layup yourself. Even though in that moment you're trying hard, you're really not trying hard enough. And that's what the Celtics did. The Celtics tried hard in spurts, but they weren't really matching what the Raptors were doing. They weren't doing all of the things that they needed to do to pick the Raptors apart. Where the Raptors play hard, but Kyle Lowry is in control, and he's out there attacking. If there's a lane to the rim, he's getting to the lane. He's throwing his ass into Daniel Tice to get himself some space and finishing at the rim. He's setting up guys. Van Vliet, like I said before, is driving, passing, replacing, getting the shots off, and they're doing it while playing 45 minutes a game. That's hard work. That's intense work. That's the energy the Celtics need to match. The Celtics go out there and think, we've got the talent to outclass them. And the Celtics do have the talent to outclass Toronto, even without Hayward. They have it. But they do it's not fake hustle, but they try until they decide they've tried enough. And until they think the play is over. And so the Celtics in game five have to go out and play not just harder, but play the hard style of basketball that's made them good, that made them blow Toronto out. To go out there and work the ball around, move the ball, move yourself, get the ball from side to side, get the ball into the paint, and then kick it out. The Celtics have to do that because the Raptors' best players have been playing 45 minutes a game these past two games. They've been in the bubble forever. You've got to make them work. The Celtics should be in better shape. They haven't been working. They haven't been overworked. They should be in better shape. They're younger. Make Toronto work. Put in that effort. Now, Brad said, look, we're not going to play a perfect game. Nobody's going to play a perfect game, and that's true. You're going to make mistakes. That's fine. No one's going to get on these guys for making, you know, mistakes based on effort. Sometimes you're trying to get the ball up and you throw the ball out of bounds. Okay, fine. Sometimes you're trying to do a little too much. Okay, fine. Every once in a while, fine. But if you're trying to do the right thing and you're working hard to do the right thing and make the right plays, you're fine. The Celtics will be fine. But to go out there and admit that you got outplayed, that's the part that just doesn't sit well with me. To go out there and admit, because you know what? Now it's tied, and Toronto feels like they can win this thing. They feel like they've been there before. They've been down, and they've won a bunch of games in a row. We've seen them do it in the playoffs. Now, it doesn't matter that they don't have Kawhi. They believe in themselves. The Celtics have to go out there and take that away. It's that mentality where if someone came up to me and said, I'm going to kick your ass, you say, all right, maybe you will, but we're both going to end up in the hospital if you try. That's going to be their mentality. Toronto could come out there and play their asses off, and Toronto could go out there and beat them. The Celtics may lose. They may do all this stuff and lose. But they're going to make sure, they have to make sure, that if that final buzzer sounds and the Raptors are up, that it's not Boston's fault. It's that Toronto went out there and just took a game. And I think in game four, the Celtics did enough to give that game away, especially in the third quarter and especially when they were doing the wrong things and not playing basketball the right way. So let's see what they do in game five. This is going to be a true test. I mean, obviously, when you're 2-2, the winner of Game 5 obviously has a great chance of winning. And the Celtics going up 3-2 obviously would be a real downer for the Raptors. But the Celtics have to go out and just take this from the start. Got to take this from the start. I'll be back after the game for a regular post-game show. And then the rest of the week, hopefully there's going to be more positive things to talk about. It's a hell of a turn after that game three. We'll talk about it here if you're a new listener and you're still here. Hopefully that means you've enjoyed the show and you want to subscribe. You can do that wherever you find your podcast. You can follow on Spotify as well. Regular listeners, hope you've enjoyed the show enough to give it a good review and a 5-star rating. As always, support our sponsors. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get $10 off your next order. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.